I'm Jason, the creator of the Army Showcase, and as promised, it's time to go ahead and continue our battlefield construction. This time we take on the challenges of water and fire in this episode of the Tabletop Battlefield. Welcome back to Season 3 of the Tabletop Battlefield, the official podcast, Army Showcase, over at www.tabletopbattlefield.com. And we're on episode 12 of the season, and that might be a little bit confusing because if you watched last episode, I said it was episode 10, which means it seems like I skipped one. But really what actually happened is the previous episode I actually filmed before I filmed the Imperial Guard episode. So at the time that I filmed the previous episode, it was actually episode 10, but since we ended up filming the Imperial Guard episode, it became episode 11. So yes, I can actually count. With that out of the way, let's go ahead and we'll keep going with what we did last time, which is where we're rebuilding our battlefield, being a really cool new looking one. And this time we're doing two different terrain types. I'm going to take the video I shot for last episode, but didn't get in because it just ran long. And it's actually going to be creating a volcanic landscape. Let me get it over here and show it to you guys. The idea is basically make it look like it's a charred, lava-strewn battlefield. It looks pretty darn good. It's using lava rocks, which are kind of a very low-density landscaping thing. I'll show this off in a minute when we get to building this. And then, of course, I use some more of the GW basing stuff, and it turned out looking pretty good. It's got a nice little charred area down here. It looks kind of a little bit of reddish tones to it, a little bit of gray, black, and the rocks give it a very real rocky feel, like it's dried up lava and things. So it looks really good, I think. And the other thing we're going to take on is actually doing a better job of building some type of waterscape. Last episode, I built kind of the chaos-infested drainage basin that it looked all right. It wasn't great. It looked all right. The water was terrible. And that's what we're going to do this time. We're going to do a better job with water. Which brings me to the product we're going to review in this episode, which is the Ripplin Water Kit. It's by Scenorama, which is a subsidiary division. It's a division of Woodland Scenics. If you're not familiar with the company of Woodland Scenics, they're actually a really big name in the world of model railroading. If you ever go see a model railroading store, you're going to find lots of Woodland Scenics products. They make flocking, they make water stuff, they make trees, they make all sorts of things for model railroad terrains. Because one thing I found is there isn't a whole lot of great ways to make water. It's not in terms of products. You've got this kit here is actually not really more of a water kit as it is a water highlighting kit. Because nothing really in here to actually make the water itself. This is used to give the surface you're working on a look of water. Woodland Scenics also makes a product called EZ Water, spelled E-Z Water. I was looking into that. It's kind of like a hot glue-like substance. Because it's little chunks of plastic you got to melt down and then pour into your mold. And the problem there is a lot of people build their terrain away from stoves. So some people actually go out and buy like camping stoves that they have next to the model railroading terrain to melt this stuff. It's just a really big hassle, and I didn't feel like playing with lots of hot, fiery things because I don't feel like burning my place down right now. Other than that, you can use like resin, which I've used before to build the MechWarrior fighters way back in Season 1. But that stuff's expensive, it's toxic. So it can work, but it's not the nicest stuff. There really isn't any great way to do it. So what I'm going to try to do is essentially take a carved out river basin, and then we'll basically use this stuff to accent and make it look kind of cool. Once again, this is the Ripplin Water Kit by Scenorama, a division of Woodland Scenics. You can find it at craft stores like Michael's. I got this for around $9. We'll get to that in a little bit later. First, let's go ahead and show you how to build that volcanic terrain. Time to start working on kind of the lava field area. So what we've got here in this sheet of polystyrene, or whatever I keep calling it, I change the name every time I say it, I marked out several regions. We've got one large region in the corner, two smaller regions in the middle. That are, all three of those are being marked with an X. And then on the very left-hand side here, I've got some smaller ravines and crevices, just like I had the grasslands. The idea here being that the areas marked with the X are going to be depressions, where the two little crevices are just going to be like how we did back in the grasslands, where you kind of carve out a small little canyon, paint it up, put some flocking, make it look nice. For the depressions, we're going to do something a little bit differently. they're going to be not as deep as the rivers were for the marshland kind of thing. There's going to be an eighth to maybe a quarter inch in spots depth from below the surface of the board. So that'll just give you kind of large depressed areas that'll have some volcanic rocks in it. So to start here, what we're going to do is take some safety goggles. And frankly, if you have a mask laying around, it's probably not a bad idea to get one of those out and wear that. And using a nice sturdy knife of some sort, go ahead and carve out say the large regions and also little caverns over here. We'll come back and we'll show you the next step from that point on. All right, just finished carving out both of the little depressions and also the small little cavernous cracks in the ground, whatever you want to call them. Hold this thing up here. You can see the kind of large depression areas. Like I said, they're not too deep. I don't want them to be too deep. They're basically going to kind of give a little bit of uneven ground for the rocks to sit on. Over here is the usual caverns, as we've done in the past. One thing to note when you're working this, what I just did here, you may want to consider wearing gloves. Let me actually show you what I got happening to my finger here. That's actually kind of my middle finger, so let's not hold it out exactly. Right up in the top there, it kind of, well, when you're carving these things out, your finger keeps rubbing against the polystyrene and it basically does the equivalent of a rug burn. So it gets kind of nasty, kind of damages your finger. Therefore, consider wearing gloves. Lava rock is a type of landscaping. You actually find it in many big box like Home Depot or Lowe's. They probably come in really huge bags. I'm looking at it off the side right now. That huge bag, which has like 6 cubic feet in it, will probably last you, I don't know, forever if you're just building miniature wargaming terrain. So these are designed for actual landscaping. It runs about $3-4 a bag. It's not very expensive. What you have to do is break them up. Now, let's fix the back and then we'll get back to breaking them up. Well, while I'm fixing the sign, why don't I say what we're doing? What you're going to want to do with these is be very careful, because obviously you start hitting stuff or hitting rocks with hammers and there'll be lots of bits flying and you'll get stuff in your eye and you'll run around screaming and you'll try to blame me, which, by the way, this might be a good time to say that if you do attempt any of the projects on this show, consider it, it's your own darn fault if you screw up and you hurt yourself. It's not mine. You've been warned. Do this stuff at your own risk. So what you want to do is take an old towel, preferably one that's real old you never want to use again because you'll probably ruin it, as I discovered using one of my towels. You take a handful of these rocks, maybe 8 or 10 of them, stick them in the towel, wrap them up nice and tight, get on safety goggles and also a mask. I mean, granted, the towel will minimize little bits flying around and some of the dust flying up, but there's still going to be dust coming through and whatnot. So put on safety goggles and mask, and then go ahead and just beat the crap out of the rocks for a while. And what you'll notice, eventually it'll break down into tiny little bits and lots of little dust. So you probably end up with a lot of small little bits here. So those are some kind of medium-sized bits. There's some smaller bits down the bottom that really shake it up. So you want to get a decent variety of sizes. I mean, not everything's going to be really small. You don't want lots of big chunks. Just get a little bit of variety of these lava rocks. When you're done smashing them up, put them in a cup like this. So you can spread them out across the board. Other things to consider with that towel, what you're going to want to do is, if you're going to use it again, you want to wash it, but wash it by hand. And wash it by hand several times in a bucket with soap and water. I really don't know what would happen if you put that towel in the washing machine with lots of little bits in there. It could mess things up, so don't put it in the washing machine. Like I said, wash it by hand. Once you've got lots of little chunks here, you're ready to go ahead and start spreading them around the board. We gotta wait for the paint to dry, so I'm gonna go ahead and let the paint dry, come back, and we'll show you how to do that. Okay, I've hold this board up here. You can see I've given the old glue and black paint job. Just cover the whole thing in a thin layer of white paint, as I always do, so that way the glue dries decently well. It's not perfect for the first coat, there's still little bits of pink, but it's the usual kind of stuff. Of course, then there's a nice thick coat of black paint. And right now what I'm going to do is start putting little rocks on in the various depressed areas that I made. Right now, the glue is actually not completely... glue. The paint is not completely dry inside the little depression areas. That's all right. That's only going to help the things actually stick better. So, of course, we got the three areas, the big one in the upper corner, and then we got two smaller ones more centralized. What I'm going to do is take a one-inch brush. I'm going to take some glue, spread some glue down in the depressed areas like this. This will mix in also with the paint that's not dry yet. There we go. And let's just go ahead and take my one-inch brush and start dabbing that glue around. So this will basically take the glue, mix it with the paint that's not dry yet, and then also smash it around and kind of spread it around the entire depressed area, kind of giving the whole depressed area a nice mixture of glue paint, which will obviously help the rocks stick down to the board, which is what you kind of want them to do. Here we go. Let's start with this one first. Doesn't really matter. I just got two cups of rocks, is what I'm talking to myself about. Let's sprinkle some out in your hand, and then just go right ahead and drop them in there as best you can. You do a nice mixture of both small and big rocks. Also, one thing I should say, we're going to actually go back and paint these rocks, give them various grayish, various shades of gray to make it look more like it's dried molten lava or whatever. So the fact that it's kind of bright red, don't worry about the color right now. We'll deal with that later. Let's go ahead and finish the next two sections. Do the same process. Mix some glue in with the paint that's not yet dry. Dab it down. Sprinkle the rocks on there. And we're good. So I'll go ahead and keep doing some of that. I'll come back in just a minute when I got it done. We'll show you what the next step is. Oh yeah, of course, also let everything dry after you do that. That should be self-explanatory. But just in case let everything dry after you do that. Now, as I'm standing here, I'm letting the rocks kind of dry and fix themselves to the board. One other obvious note that I should mention that I have failed to do, let's make sure you have broken up enough lava rock to cover the intended area. I kind of just barely had enough and did some fudging around to kind of make it look decent, so it looks all right. We'll see how it turns out. I don't know at this point. Anyway, more importantly, on a future episode of the Tabletop Battlefield, I'm going to have to talk to you about how you get lava rock pieces out of your carpet, because I got a whole bunch of them on the ground right now. I'm stepping on them and they hurt. But we'll deal with that in a future episode. At the moment, while I'm letting this dry, I want to be efficient. Because, you know, we got essentially two terrain types on this board. This kind of burned down, lava-y, molten, volcanic kind of stuff. And we do got an area of normal grass where it hasn't been overtaken by the horrific lava and things yet. So let's go ahead and start working on that. As you hear, I move that along, you probably hear the grinding the lava rocks underneath the board. That's going to be nice and good. We're going to go ahead and start using our GW basic kit here, get out the brown paint, and pretty much just paint the area of the board that's going to be covered in grass. That's all I really got to do. Decide where you want the grass line to begin and the lava burnt out section to end. And that's all. So I'm just going to go ahead and start applying that. And once that's done, we'll move on from there. Bring up the speed and what I've done so far here. The glue and paint is pretty well dried, at least to my level of satisfaction. The rocks are sticking on decently well. The ones that are going to stick on are sticking on. The ones that fell off, they've fallen off from the carpet or outside or somewhere. It's going to be a mess to clean this up. What I've done also is I hit this with a fairly medium coat of black spray paint. It didn't get rid of all the red coloring on the rocks. Still gave them, but made them darker. Now I'm going to go ahead and do is start applying basically a dried lava look to them. What I need to do in this case is I've just taken some pretty run-of-the-mill paint, standard tempera poster paints, whatever you want to call them, black and white. We made it starting with a dark gray base. We're going to paint over the rock areas with a dark gray color here. A little this camera, you can see a little bit better. And then pretty much going to apply two or three more layers of lighter gray being dry brushed on, therefore giving kind of a gradient of grays across the lava areas. And with that, that'll pretty much finish the dry lava rock areas. And the rest here, the other half where you've designated as quote is still the good grassland areas. Go ahead, bases are normal, put some little ochre colors, dry brush that along the little ridges here, and then apply the PVA glue and apply the Games Workshop flocking as we did, say, with the grassland areas before and the things we've done before this. Yeah, that's about it. So let me go ahead and start applying some gray to the volcanic wastelands and see how it looks. One thing that does help them here, just quickly noticing, don't try to brush the gray on, just dab it on. And just by following the usual steps here, after going ahead of, you know, painting it up, gluing some glue down, and flocking it up, you've got your finished lava field. It looks pretty good. Hopefully the rocks remain relatively durable and they stay on over time. But, you know, we'll see how that works as the years go on. But it's looking pretty good. We can go ahead and put this one aside, and let's go back to working on. So let's go ahead and we'll put this one off the side because we're done with it. Let's go work on our river basin tiles. Before we start working with the rippling water kit, let's take a look at what's actually in the kit so you know what you're getting. Now, like I said, this kit retails for around $9 at craft stores like Michael's. You might be also able to find it, say, at a Joann Fabrics or Hobby Lobby, one of those kind of places, maybe. But here's what you get for $9. It really isn't a lot. In here, it's almost as if Games Workshop made the thing. You get a little foam brush. You get a tongue depressor, which, you know, you're going to use the foam brush to paint the base color of the water. The tongue depressor is for making effects. You've got a small amount of what appears to be non-toxic water-based base paint for water. It looks to be just a very dark blue. It looks to be a very dark blue, kind of grayish color. There's not a lot in there. You get an equally sized bottle of what's called Water Effects. I don't know what's in here. It kind of looks like white glue, but I really don't know. It just doesn't say anything other than Water Effects. In fact, it smells a lot like white glue. There you go. I generally don't recommend sniffing random components of these things, but it does smell a little bit like white glue. And the biggest amount of stuff you get is called realistic water. I don't know what this is. It's very liquidy. It's kind of translucent. You hold it up to the light. It kind of blocks out all the colors of light except orange and red. So it kind of gives a little bit of a red light, or everything but orange light filter. It's kind of weird. If I open it up here, it's liquidy, but it's definitely got a much thicker consistency than water. I don't want to smell it or taste it because I don't know what it is. So I'm going to set it off the side. But this is basically what you use to create a very watery effect. You get the plastic case this came in. Maybe you do something cool, make something cool out of it. I don't know, maybe I'll save that for an episode of Green Gaming someday. You get what's called release paper. This is some type of special paper that I assume glue doesn't stick to very well. And you use this in the case of creating certain effects for the water. And, of course, you get a little manual here that kind of tells you how to do the basic watercolors, how to do little ripples, how to do waterfalls, things like that. So there is an instruction booklet that does come with it that tells you how to do the stuff I'm going to show you in a minute here. Well, that's your kit for $9. It's awfully expensive. We'll see how it looks just before I make a final judgment, though. So let's get started building a new river basin terrain. And the one thing to keep in mind with this rippling water kit, it says here in the instructions, it covers 196 square inches. So kind of keep that in mind when you're laying out where the river and lake is going to be, that keep it under 196 square inches, which is approximately 14 inches by 14 inches. It's not a lot, but it's what we got to work with for right now. What we're going to use, obviously, just like the rest of the battlefield, we got 1-inch thick extruded polystyrene. You know, this nice pink stuff here, nothing fancy. It's what we used previous last episode. And the basic plan of attack here is we're going to have a river coming off one side and go down to a lake. And I actually want to try to make a waterfall, so this will be interesting, because that kit I got has little highlights to be able to make waterfalls and rapids and things like that. So we're going to try to actually use all the features of the kit. So you just decide where you want everything to go. Like I said, probably one of the short ends is going to be where the river starts and comes in, and maybe up here or somewhere is going to be a little bit of a lake, not a big one. That's probably all I'm really going to do. I might make a few little ditches over here like I've done in the grassland terrain, just to give a little variety to the field, but all in all, we're really more focused on just making the water. So let's go ahead. I'm going to mark off where I'm going to put the various terrain features. Finished up going and drawing all the terrain features on the board. On the left-hand side, which would be, well, your right side, my left, I just put a couple little trenches I'm going to cut out just like they're in the grassland field, nothing there. The right-hand side, we've got a few more trenches surrounding the lake. The lake's obviously going to be the major feature here because we're doing a water kit. Bits of GW flocking already on this board because I had sitting up against my other pieces. But what I'm going to actually do is cut the lake and the river out in their entirety. So I'm going to use a foam iron cutter to cut them all the way out. And I'm actually going to try to go ahead and make waterfalls. So I've got two little lines drawn here. Let me hold it up closer to this camera. You can see in the river, I've got the two lines drawn there. One right there, one right there. I'm going to try and make those be little waterfalls, like, you know, as the water is going down towards the lake. See how that looks? Because the idea I'm going to do is cut out the lake, and then I'm going to put pieces of cardboard that are going to be the exact same shape in there at different levels, and that's going to become the base of the water that we're going to use the accent and highlight using the Rippling Water kit. So let me go ahead and cut everything out. We'll come back in a minute, and we'll see how it looks. Finished up cutting out all the little bits here. I've carved out my little trenches all over the map. And, of course, I took the foam iron cutter or hot foam cutter thingamajig that I used and cut out the entire lake. You can see it's a nice big empty spot here. Now it's time to go ahead and start building the water. We're going to do three layers of water, essentially, because we're going to have the bottom of the lake be one layer. The middle level, which is like part, a little bit above because it's a waterfall going down, and then the top level is going to also be a little bit higher up. What I'm going to use for the base of the water is just blue poster board, nothing fancy, pretty common stuff you can find. To create the bottom level of the lake, take the piece of polystyrene you cut out for the lake, lay it down on the map, and what you, or not on the map, lay it down on the poster board, and what you actually want to do is cut out an area a little bit bigger than the actual piece, because you're going to glue this thing to the bottom of the board. Just go ahead, trace out an area that's a little bit bigger than the piece. There we go. If I hold this, let me hold this thing up to the secondary camera. You can see now I got the area traced out a little bit bigger than the piece. And let's just cut that out using a pair of scissors. Okay. Flip the board upside down. What you want to do then is take some white glue, run a small bead of white glue around the just the edge of the lake, not too much further away from the edge because, you know, if obviously you want the area of blue tag board you just cut out to be covered to cover up this glue, and then go ahead, lay it down however the right angle, there we go, and glue this tag board down to the bottom of the map. If any glue kind of seeps out on the tag board, go ahead and clean it up using a Kleenex or tissue or paper towel, napkin, something. It might not be a bad idea to let this glue dry just so when you flip the thing back over, you don't accidentally glue the whole thing down on the table, but I'm not going to do that. Because I've got a schedule to make and maintain. Now it's time to go ahead and start cutting out the tag board for the other two sections of the lake, or sorry, the river. You want to, this is a waterfall, so you want to start from the bottom up. We just started with the lake, which is the bottom. Take this next piece in line, which is going to be like the area that feeds into the lake, that directly feeds into the lake. Do the same kind of thing, trace it out. However, the one additional modification you're going to want to do is that on the side that is the waterfall, which in my case over here, if I hold this up, the smaller side here is the waterfall. What you want to do is extend that out maybe a quarter, a third of an inch or so. And you're going to end up folding that thing down to become the waterfall. So you can see there, this area is what's traced out. Then I have a little bit of a quarter, a third of an inch extension onto it. Cut that whole thing out, and you want this cut to be precise. So the last one you kind of fudge around with, you would miss and just not be very accurate. This one, you have to be relatively precise. Now the next thing you're going to do, take this little piece of cut out and fold down the tab. So this is the top right here. Let's just fold this tab down just like that. So now it's at a 90 degree angle to the rest of the piece. Hold this, so there's your obviously your flat piece, turn to the side, there's a little tab folded down. Now you want to stick this thing in here. So you take your little piece of tag board now, you're going to stick it down in the river basin at the level you want it to be at. Let me go ahead and there we go. That looks pretty good. So let me actually see if I can... I can't really pick the camera up. I can move the board to the camera. Now you got the lake at the very bottom there, and it's kind of a tough angle. Let me see if I can flip it around to a better angle for you. You got the lake at the very bottom, and now you can kind of see there's a little bit, this part of the river is a little bit elevated above the bottom of the lake. That's what you want, because you're obviously creating a waterfall. To get it to stay in there now, it's actually kind of fitting in all right, just because it's a very precise cut. But let's just run a little bit of glue along the edge of the river and have it so it can glue in to the walls of the river basin. And we can kind of just make that look like maybe some rocks or something, or maybe a little bit of mud. There we go. Now we're going to do the same process again with the last part of the waterfall. Of course, add a little tab in the front, bend it down, therefore it's even higher than this mid-level section. So you've got a little two-tier waterfall going here. There you go. Once again, trace it out. Here's the main body, here's a little tab. Precisely cut it out and kind of do the exact same thing we just did with the first level, and you should get a kind of a cool little tiered look effect to the water. Okay, cut it out and folding the tab down again. Just like that. There we go. Stick it in place and just kind of glue it in place just like you did the last one. I'm going to cheat here. Instead of using the white glue to glue these rivers and let it dry, let's go get some hot glue and see how that works. Hopefully it doesn't melt the foam. We'll try it out and you'll see it on the show whether it works or not. So I'm going to get some hot glue and we'll try this out. All right, just a few quick tests trying the hot glue out on this pink extruded polystyrene and see what happens. It doesn't seem to be hot enough to do any real serious damage to it, so we're going to go ahead and try it to glue down these rivers. So what you want to do, let's just flip over the board. So you're working from the bottom now. And taking the hot glue gun, just run a little bead of hot glue along the river, along basically, you know, below the river next to the bank. Let's see if this works. So you're gluing, obviously, the edge of the river piece to the bank. Yes, the polystyrene bank. That makes sense. I think it makes sense in my head. I'll see. Whatever. Just let it go for a minute. Let's flip it back over. Get the top river piece, and we're going to try to fit this one on and fit it in there. Okay. And just so you know, if the river piece doesn't fit exactly perfect in there, like here, for example, on this side, I got a little bit of a hole, don't worry too much about that. You can kind of cover that up using rocks or using some kind of mud or something that represents dirt. So don't worry too much if it's not an exact perfect fit. We can hide that stuff. There you go. That's in place. Let's flip it over. And do the same basic thing. And actually, let's glue the two river pieces together. So where the waterfall is, glue the two together. And of course, this is a good time to mention hot glue is very hot, and be darn careful with it. I've given myself second degree burns, I think. Was it once with it? Something like that. It really messes you up good, so just be very careful with it. One thing I should mention as an idea, if you are concerned about the hot glue melting in particular polystyrene you're using, what you can do is coat the riverbanks with a thin layer of white glue, let it dry, and therefore the hot glue will dry to the white glue instead of drying straight onto the polystyrene, therefore significantly reducing the risk of it melting the polystyrene and making things messy and producing toxic gases. Because when polystyrene melts, it produces toxic gases. Alright, that's looking pretty good. Let's flip it back over and see how it looks. Oopsie. The river's a little bit cockeyed. It's not too bad, though. It's workable. I think it looks good enough. It's not perfectly level, but it looks good enough for what we're doing here. Like I said, don't worry if you got a little hole over here. We can cover that up with some rocks or something. We'll do that in a little bit later. So, yeah, I'd say we're ready to go. The hot glue looks pretty dry. It's pretty stable. So, let's go ahead and start using this thing and see how it works. So let me just read the instructions one more time. Fill out your grass and mark the area. Your foam brush to paint area of water. Undercoat or color of your choice. Okay, use the foam brush to paint the area that's base color. And the base color, it looks to be a very basic kind of dark gray coloring to it. The foam brush is working pretty good. I'm liking it. Let me hold this up for you. You can see there now, instead of having the blue poster color, the water's got a nice dark gray base, I guess. Yeah, it looks a nice dark gray base. Paint went on really good, covered up all the undercoats good. I like it. So let's move on to the next step. It seems to be drying pretty quick, but we'll let it go for a few minutes just before I go to the next step. But it is drying pretty quick. Let's see, what is the next step? Add some items. Oh, okay, well. Apparently, the realistic water stuff that comes in here is also some sort of adhesive, so it might just be watered-down glue. But either way, because you can use the realistic water as an adhesive to attach items such as rocks and sticks. So why don't I go ahead, while I'm letting this dry, I'll jump outside, I'll go see if we can find some small rocks, maybe a few twigs to kind of get a cool-looking effect, like there's no water going around the rocks as it goes down the waterfall. So I'll be back in just a minute to see how this goes. Just took a trip out to my front yard and pulled in some rocks, some sticks, and some other oddball items here that we're going to kind of glue down and make it look like they're part of the riverscape. So using the little tongue depressor they give you, you can dip it a little bit into the realistic water and use it as adhesive to glue the things down. I'm going to put a nice big stick right in there because it's a big dead tree. We all know I'm a big fan of Bob Ross, so like all trees, dead or alive, they need a friend. So let's take a little from another stick and put it in to give the dead tree a friend. Now I'm going to scatter some rocks in the river, specifically focusing on the areas around the waterfall. put all my little rocks and twigs and other little items in here. Let me hold it up and hopefully nothing falls off, as you can kind of see what I did. I think it looks decently well. If they're not fully secure, don't worry yet, because you're going to use that realistic water to actually coat the whole thing, so it'll probably be another layer of adhesive kind of thing. At this point, what you want to do, if you do have any holes over here like I did, you want to make sure you fill everything in, because you can probably pour this realistic water stuff all over the place. You want it to be sealed, otherwise it's going to run all over the place and be very, very messy. Okay, anyway, you're going to go ahead and pour this realistic water stuff out, so it's no more than 1/8 in thick everywhere. Use the foam brush to keep it from forming bubbles, and let it dry overnight. But, I didn't know that, but that's annoying. But I'll go ahead and let it do it that anyway. Just finished up putting this realistic water stuff all over. I used about half a bottle in the small little lake I got, which I guess is probably about what you expect to use. I don't know. It's probably about half the size of what they say it, you know, the area covers. At least initially, before it even begins to dry, it looks cool. It's got a nice shiny reflective coat to it. We'll see if it holds on to that. I don't know what it's going to look like when it's dried. I've never used this stuff before, and that's the point of doing this show. Unfortunately, it does say we have to let it dry overnight, so it probably won't be a while until I can finish this thing up. But what I can do in the meantime, I'm just going to go ahead and finish flocking the rest of this field. It's pretty standard procedure. We've seen me do it on this show, the last show. Just put the brown paint down, put some little dry brush and dry ochre, and then put the flocking down with the glue. You know the deal. So I'm going to go ahead and do that. So that way, by the time this guy's ready to finish up the area around the lake anyway, it'll probably be dry by tomorrow. So I'll come back, see you in 24 hours. Well, I'm back, and it's actually been about maybe 5 minutes, because I realized the next step in terms of making the waterfalls I can do before I let this whole thing dry. What you're going to do is use this water effects stuff, a little other small white glue-looking thing in there, and using a toothpick, which I don't have, so I'm going to get that tongue depressor out, wherever it's at. There it is. And what you do is you spread this stuff out on the release paper, because I guess it won't dry to the release paper. And then overnight, after it dries overnight, you'll be able to go ahead and pick up the little bits off the release paper and kind of lay it down onto your waterscape, and it should look pretty good. Just the one thing you want to keep in mind, you want to make the lines go in the direction the water is flowing, otherwise it'll look really funny. And that should work well, decently well enough for our first waterfall. I hope. I don't know. We'll see how it looks when I put it on the thing, but that's the idea. Make a little bit smaller one for the bottom waterfall then. So now it's been about 24 hours since I finished the last segment up. I've went ahead and see here I've actually ended up flocking most of the board. We just did the usual standard flocking stuff with the GW kit. We haven't done the final details around the lake yet. That's what I'm going to do very last. Before I get to that, I want to go ahead and apply the waterfall effects. I've already gone and tried to apply one of the waterfall effects up here. It kind of looks all right. I'll see when it fully dries. But the idea was, of course, last time we left off, where I put a little bit of the water effects stuff down on this paper. Now, the idea is to slowly peel this thing, I guess you call it this glue-like substance, if it is just glue, peel it off the paper, because the idea is it shouldn't dry to the paper. There we go. It's going to come off like this thin film. And be careful, it tends to kind of really clump up really easily in things. So you want to try to keep it relatively flat. So you can see here, I've got this very thin film in between my two hands. And now using more of the water effects stuff, you want to put that down on the water where you want this thing to stick on. So this is going to be the bottom waterfall I'm putting on now. So I'm going to put some of the water effects stuff down there in and around the rocks and things. And let's just go ahead and stick it down, and that's the idea of it. You can kind of tear it a little bit to make it kind of wrap around the rocks. So it looks like the water is just like gushing around the rocks and things, and I don't know. Do your best. I'm kind of, you know, making this up as I go, so I'm just following the instructions myself. I don't know. We'll see how good it looks when everything all said and done in terms of drying. And the last thing you may want to consider with the water is taking more of this water effects, using the tongue depressor, and just kind of spreading it around some of the rocks and some of the other things in the water and make it kind of look like there's kind of a little bit of a wave effect going on. That's the kind of idea in the instructions. Hopefully it looks halfway decent. I don't really know. Like I said, we'll see when it dries, but that's the idea anyway. You can kind of add little waves kind of around the areas. But anyway, I could be at this for a while. I'm gonna do some more detailing work after I'm done with the show. But let's just finish up and let's do some final reviews. Because we're pretty close to the end of the show here. I got about 10 minutes left in my tape at this point. Let's just do, so my final review of this product, it looks kind of cool. It definitely gives it a better look than, you know, just slapping down some tag board or some other crappy ways of doing it. It looks a little bit better. I might consider using different base colors than the dark gray. I don't know if I really like the dark gray look. Maybe the dark gray look is good for some more murky, deeper lakes with a little bit shallower things. Maybe try even a little bit, maybe a little more bluish, maybe a little bit brown or green, depending if you want to make it look like it's like a slimy, disgusting lake. So you certainly can play around with different base colors. It says so in the instructions. I mean, the base color is just basic paint of some sort. For $9... it looks pretty good. I'll wait to see. I mean, the waterfalls are looking all right, even though I probably kind of botched them up a little bit. It's my first shot at it. So, I mean, it's definitely a decent little product for $9. It is pretty expensive. See, basically, this lake here costs about $5. So, it's one of those things you got to decide. I mean, it's a nice feature to have maybe once or twice in your field, but it's really too expensive. It's definitely going to be way too expensive. If you want to do a nice big beach landing scene, you got to figure out something else for that. So, you know, it's give it a shot. I do like it. At least try it out once for $9. You know, it's worth a shot. See if you like it. I like how it looks. Like I said, maybe a little different color, but it looks pretty good for what you get. It is expensive, but it looks pretty good for what you get. So with that, let's go ahead and finish this show up. Once again, I'm Jason. Thanks for watching. Any questions or comments, send them to me at jason@rockosoftware.com. That's rocosoftware.com. And, of course, Twitter at @TT_Battlefield. That's about all I got for you this time. Thanks for going through, I guess, what was pretty much came the month of building. Hopefully you got an awesome new Battlefield to play out and get on and play some games. Hopefully here we got coming up some Warhammer 40K news, I'm hoping. We're going to try to get that scheduled. Of course, our Blood Bowl review. And beyond there, well, we got a few things we can try out, so we'll see what happens. But until then, keep on working on your Battlefield. Let's see what you guys got. Post them in the Army Showcase. Post your pictures. It's awesome to show them off, and you can share them with basically every other community of the internet really easily. So with that, thanks for watching. I'll see you again in about 2 weeks on the next episode of the Tabletop Battlefield.
The Tabletop Battlefield is copyright 2007-2009 by Jason Rutherford and is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial License.
The intro music Down With Everything is by The Transfer and is acquired from www.podsafeaudio.com and is used under a Creative Commons License.